Hi, Trish. It's great to have you here today. Super excited. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. How was the drive up, by the way?
The drive up was great. Easy. You know, I'm coming in from just outside of Austin, so it was easy. Yesterday, actually, though, I was coming from Houston.
Okay.
So we've got some clients in the Houston area as well. So, you know, kind of did the Texas trifecta.
Yeah, you're hitting all of the major cities.
Right, exactly.
So that's fantastic. And the view here is absolutely incredible.
Stunning. The last time I was in Dallas, actually, I didn't have this view. It was, you know, the weather didn't cooperate as well. So this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And to your point, when the weather's bad, though, it can be very gloomy up here. So
I would imagine.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. So, hey, as I was prepping for this conversation and just kind of looking at your background and what an incredible history you've got, an incredible career, I was looking at what you're doing with Moxie and how did you end up starting Moxie?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, honestly. So I moved down to Texas about 3.5 years ago in August of 21 and was working for a startup fintech company and it just wasn't a fit.
Right.
And so I had said to my two best girlfriends, hey, you know what, I'm going to give this, you know, a little while longer and do some research on, you know, opening up my own agency and see, you know, kind of give it some thought, pray about it, think about it. And the very next week I was like, okay, I'm out. And then a couple days later, I literally had my first client. So I just felt like, you know, and I've been completely blessed and lucky. And I've, at this point in my life, I've really just learned to follow the path that I'm given.
Yeah.
And, you know, not really resist it. Still be, you know, cognizant and, you know, watch it. But I was like, you know, I just really felt like I was being led in that direction. And so it's been going fantastic.
That's great. So just kind of refresh me real quick. What all do you do? At Moxie.
Right, so we are a full service agency.
Okay.
And so when I started, obviously as a solo, right, and still really I'm a solopreneur, but except for, you know, I've got a bunch of subcontractors that work with me. But, you know, I identified where my weaknesses were.
Right.
And so with my experience, you know, really being like a CMO,
right.
You know, it doesn't always have me doing the actual work, right?
Right.
Took a look at, all right, where are my strengths and started with those and then filled in the gaps. And so what we've done is just grown, we've grown from there.
Okay.
So I have a team of 14 now. And so we're really offer everything, although I will say we don't really do TikTok.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. It's TikTok's an amazing and incredible platform. And you know, it's got a tremendous amount of upside for the right audience.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And I think there's workarounds, though, with that as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know that, you know, saying, hey, we're a full service agency, you know, we don't want to be, you know, jack of all trades, master of none.
Right.
If you will. But that's why I've surrounded myself with people that do niche down into those areas. So I have amazing graphic designers and web designers and all of that. And so, you know, it's really my job to stay on top of the trends and to stay on top of those things and make sure we have the right people in place.
I like that. So, all right, speaking of trends, we're at the end of the year, end of 2024, we're going into 2025. Do you have a crystal ball? Do you have something that you think is going to be happening? Some of these trends that are going to be materializing more heavily in 2025?
Absolutely. AI.
Yeah.
That's not going to shock you when I say that, right? And there's a lot of people. I did a webinar last week on AI. And, you know, we asked people right away, you know, how many people are using it? But when we dove, you know, and it said like 60% of the people were using it. But when we dove into the conversation, we're all using it. We have just now call it AI.
Yes.
Because these tools have been around for a long time, right?
Yeah.
So if we look at the history of this, they really truly started in the 90s.
They did.
And COVID just accelerated everything. Why? I don't know. I don't know exactly. I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, A, we could no longer be in person.
Right.
So we had more time to dive into these things. And a lot of people started their own business at that point. You know, they lost their jobs. They had this idea in their head. They started their own businesses. We were able to take the time to figure out the tools a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's overwhelming, right? Like, where do you begin with AI? But for me, I would say, hey, you know what? Just start with one thing. You know, this sounds simple, but if you don't have a calendar link, my goodness, get a calendar link, you know, CRMs, you know, meeting note takers, all of these things are just so amazing.
Yeah.
And then we have tools like Zapier that can bring it all together if they don't talk to each other. That's the conduit.
Yeah.
And so it's such a great time saver, and it can be overwhelming, but I would, you know, just really suggest to people, and this is what I said on the webinar, is take even 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And give some time, because these tools, as wonderful as they are, you need to train them.
Yeah.
You know, and so Canva just dropped with ChatGPT.
Okay. Yes, I didn't see that. So, all right. Yeah.
So that's one.
That's going to be huge.
Literally a game changer, right? Yeah. I do warn people, though, with AI, is that even though you need to train it, never cut and paste. Yeah. Use it for an idea generator. Use it for these things. Where we're seeing lawsuits coming in is in the graphics.
Right.
So be careful with the graphics end of things, but use the tools.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's interesting you say that, because actually, one of the first guests that that we had on Get Vertical was CEO of a startup AI firm, and it was incredibly eye-opening as he walked through, you know, what was happening with AI and the way it worked and whatnot. And he went through, there were like three major issues in AI, and as long as you understand those issues, it's a tool, it's a calculator,
right?
And it's a productivity tool. And that's the way to think about it. But to your point, one of the things that I found in conversations that I've had with different people is some of them are like, yeah, it just doesn't work. It doesn't do what I want it to do, which is true in the same way that if you use a hammer as a screwdriver, right?
Right.
It's just not gonna do the job. But if you know what it's designed to do and what it's built to do, and you leverage that, then it's amazing. It can be a huge game changer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I figure that I'd have to have probably at least four more full-time people.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, even my team of subcontractors, we provide the tools for them to use. But yesterday on our team meeting, you know, when we were talking that, hey, Canva dropped, you know, into ChatGPT, by a show of hands, who knew this, you know? Well, they all raise their hands. They're like, well, Trish, you just sent an email out. And I'm like, okay, I did just do that.
But prior to that,
and they didn't. And I said, you know, so these are the things. So, you know, then we identified some projects that we're working on, so let's give it a try. Yeah. But you know what? We always try it with Moxie stuff first.
Yeah.
Let us be the guinea pig.
Oh, and I love doing that, right?
Yes.
To your point, it's, or one of the things that we'll do with our clients is we'll ask them up front. We'll just say, hey, is this, do you want to be on the bleeding edge, right? Not the leading edge, but the bleeding edge, where you're willing to get cut, right? And you're gonna learn lessons along the way.
Right.
And if they're a little more conservative, they'll say no, right? And if they're a little bit more progressive, they'll say, yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
It's just fun working with different partners that have different mindsets. And as we partner with them, one of the things that I've found that works extremely well is just truly, it's also understanding which ones say that they're progressive and let's do it and don't really mean it.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And you can find out after. You've got to find that edge, you cross the edge, you get hurt, you skin your knee, and then they blow up and you're like, hey, remember we talked about this? And you realize, okay, they want to be there, but they're not there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know. Yeah. I guess maybe that's where we're like, you know, investment advisors.
Yes.
Like, what's your risk tolerance?
Exactly.
And
sometimes they don't know themselves very well.
No.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I explain to people too, listen, almost nothing is irreversible.
Yeah.
Right, so we try this and, you know, whatever. And here's the other thing. You can go to your clients and say, well, we tried it and it didn't work. You know, and they're gonna be like, oh, wow, you're human? Hey, that's right, we're all human.
I love that. And what I've found over the course of the career as well is that's one of the best ways to earn trust and earn a client for life is owning a mistake.
Right.
Right. As long as it's not a fatal mistake. Right.
Of course.
It's but if it's just a natural thing, it's that, hey, we were trying this. It didn't work. We own it. We'll fix it. We'll make it right. And most of the time, everybody, to your point, they go, oh, okay, you're human. Right. We'll work with you. This is great.
Exactly. And, you know, and the biggest piece of that is, we were talking about this before we started, right, is communicating.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, you know, one of the things that we try to do, you know, at Moxie, is make sure that our clients, you know, they see what we see.
Yeah.
And so if there's an anomaly, there's a blip, you know, even if it's, you know, good, bad, whatever it is, that's when usually they'll get this from me, and I'm like, hey, so what happened in the past 2 weeks that all of a sudden you're website traffic has plummeted, you know, like something going on maybe that I'm unaware of, or you know what? And one of the gentlemen that I called on that, he said, my best salesman has been on vacation for 2 weeks. And I said, he's worth it. He's bringing a lot of traffic to your website.
That's,
I said,
wild.
And you put best salesman into that. He knew it. But I said, if you needed confirmation, let me share my screen. And he's like, wow.
That's wild.
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, normally you wouldn't think about a salesperson as an individual being the cause or the catalyst for driving traffic to your website.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It was really interesting, and it was eye-opening for us, too, you know, because we pull internal traffic out, right?
So yeah.
we know that it wasn't internal traffic, but I was like, wow. So whatever he's doing,
yeah,
have him train the rest.
What was he doing? Do you know?
Yeah, you know, a big part of it was, you know, in his email cadences and everything, he was pushing people there,
okay,
to the information that he had out there.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So was he using like a sales automation tool?
Yes.
And just creating sequences and scripts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, which we didn't have anything to do with. But I was like, it's time for him to train others.
Completely.
And so they knew, you know, they knew his sales were the best, you know, and different things like that. But it was able, you know, by the analytics, we were able to then really take that and capture it and say, hey, are you willing? And why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he want the company to grow?
Yeah.
You know, and they all had territories and they all had, you know, that in place. So what they had in place was, you know, a team atmosphere. So we all win.
That's great. Well, and it's also interesting in that situation, because even in a sales team, any organization, there's the traditional adoption curve, right? There's early adopters and laggards and
yes,
everything in between. And a lot of times what I found is, even the laggards, once they see the data, they'll go, okay, you proved it to me, let me start engaging.
Right, especially in sales.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what they're, you know, they're either going to, you know, be eating ramen noodles or steak.
That's right. Well, you know, it's funny to that end. I saw a reel on Instagram recently where it was a sales coach was just giving a little bit of a spiel. And he was talking, ironically, about facial hair. And he was saying that facial hair reduces sales by 30%.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, if you, and he said he was, I think, forget, there were two different types of sales that he was doing personally, and he had a goatee, and then he shaved it, and his sales sure enough went up. And then he did some surveys and found out that, yeah, that's actually true. And so
I have never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, it was like,
that's crazy.
Well, I had heard it, I've actually heard that throughout my life, is that typically there's this notion that when somebody has a beard or facial hair, they're trying to hide something.
They're trying to hide. I guess I have heard that before.
Right.
But I'd never put it together with sales, and it's never really been something I've had to worry about personally.
Yeah, it's weird, and I probably need to go shave now. but I don't know. When I lost this, I was like, okay, I'm going to get this. So,
yeah, right.
But
I wonder if that's changing with the popularity of beards. That's interesting.
Yeah, that would be really, because I don't know how old that, I mean, obviously the reel was being promoted recently, but
right,
I don't know when the actual video was taken.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I think, did beards explode after COVID?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like all of a sudden people are at home and they're like, I don't need to shave.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Because you know, so many things changed.
Yes.
I also think, you know, that, I mean, I'm dressed up today, but normally, I mean, I might have a nice shirt on, but, you know, be sitting in my comfy pants.
Yes.
You know, at home. And we've realized that we don't necessarily have to, that we can do business anywhere, and that we don't necessarily have to wear a three-piece suit.
Yes.
In, you know, in order for people to know that we're successful and we're good at what we do.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because even this morning as I was getting dressed, I was like, okay, am I going to wear a sport coat for today or not? I was like, no, I'm good. But half the time I do it, and because I just enjoy wearing it now.
That's what I was going to say too. Because, you know, because we do work at home, so when I get the opportunity, I'm like, oh, let's take advantage. I mean, let's face it, half my closet are desk clothes that, you know.
Yes. Okay, so going back, projecting forward, AI, right, is something that you see as a trend. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that, as you're looking forward as a marketer, or if you were advising your clients, imagine you could put all your clients together in a room for a summit, and just the heads of the companies or the your primary points of contact, and you could say, hey, as we go into 2025, make sure you're aware of AI, and what else?
So to piggyback off that, I would say, don't let AI do everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we touched on that. But don't forget that even though we have these amazing tools, I don't care what your marketing budget is. I don't care what, you know, all of this is. It's still about relationships. Yeah. And that will always be. So I don't know if I would say that's a trend per se. That's just, you know, don't forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it will be easy, especially for some folks.
Yeah.
You know, some people are more introverted than extroverted, and we all have different roles, and I understand that. But to, you know, so I would say that's a really big deal as well, to make sure, you know, that when you use that, make sure we're not losing that piece of it. As far as other trends, interesting.
Real quick, before you go down that road, just to follow that trail for a second. It's interesting. One of the things about 10 or 15 years ago, we did a study to look at generational and digital engagement, right? And what we found was, you know, the boomers, now the retirement generation, right, were they were personal, interpersonal relationship first, right? People first, people contact first. So they wanted to talk to somebody on the phone, they wanted to see face to face. That's how they created trust. And then the millennials were digital contact first trust. That's, you built trust with them through digital means, and then they were like, okay, now I can trust talking to a person.
Right.
Right? Whereas the boomers were like, no, talk to me and then I'll trust your website. Right? And so, and then Gen X is definitely in the middle there, where it's like this transition group where they want relationship and digital. And so what's going to be wild is now, as the millennials have stepped into these decision-making roles in a B2B world specifically, they want digital content first.
Yes.
Before, now they want relationship, but they want, you're going to prove it to me through your digital content and your digital means first, because they're digital natives. They grew up with devices in their hands.
Exactly. And so that is something that's going to be changing, and we're watching really carefully.
Yeah.
You know, and you probably see this as a marketer, right? You'll see things come across your feed that SEO is dead, SEO, you know, what, now it's going to be GEO, which is like GTP, GEO versus like geographic. It's, you know, but then I saw even in the last couple of days, it's AEO, which is AI, you know, they're saying you can't. And so SEO is dead. And I tend to argue, I'm like, no, it's not. These are meant to work together, you know, and Google has its set of rules, ChatGPT has its set of rules, you know, and whatnot. So what it's forcing us to do is learn, and it's going to be changing, but we're going to have to go back to more content, actually.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. Yeah. And the other thing that's really interesting that I found is you have to have bot for bot content, and then you have to have content that's for people. And the bot for bot is like, you to be able to be found in the search, that's bot for bot content. Mm-hmm. And that content, the way that's structured, is fundamentally different than the way that people read and digest information.
Right.
And so what's going to be interesting is to see if the crawlers that crawl the website for the search engines and whatnot, if they'll change their algorithm to be the way people read and consume information, or if they're going to continue to say, no,
right,
we want it in a data structure field the way that the algorithm is structured.
Exactly. And they're, I guarantee they're going to be A/B testing that.
Yeah.
You know, and you and I, we're constantly, you know, like that's why people need people, businesses need marketers.
Yes.
Is because it's the target moves.
Oh, completely. We've got a client on the SEO side that point blank told us, it was so weird. They're like, we were building out a whole section of their site for them, and I said, who's your audience on this? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I said, look, is it search engine or is it people? And they were like, oh, it's search engine. We're like, okay, we're gonna write it that way. And we built out the content that way. And then they sent it to one of their SMEs to review it. It was an engineer, and he looks at it and he's like, this is horrible. And when he was saying this was horrible, he didn't mean it was correct and everything. And he said, but I don't like reading it like this.
Right.
And so we were talking to the SEO manager, and we said, did you tell him this isn't for him? And this isn't just for
consumer
the, yeah,
facing.
Yeah.
It is consumer facing, but it's not.
Exactly. It was like, this is just for a ranking purpose. And he was like, no, I didn't. I said, let's let him know that, mm-hmm, and then tell him, okay, and this is the content that's also being created to supplement that, that's designed for the human consumption purposes.
Exactly. So when we work with a business, and at just what you're talking, mm-hmm, about, we develop multiple ICPs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we have one that's consumer facing. We have them that are, you know, bot facing. We,
yes,
have the, you know, and they do serve very different purposes. And yeah, the beauty of what we're doing is we can really niche down on that.
Yeah.
But honestly, those conversations with our clients, they're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, honestly, haven't taken a deep dive at their ICP in a while.
Oh, yes. And it changes over time.
Absolutely.
Right.
It can change over 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's not changing, are you staying current? Are you staying relevant?
Yeah.
Because there aren't many businesses that don't have to, pivot, the word of 2020.
Right.
But everybody has to at some point, you know. We always talk about this, right? Do you want to be Blockbuster or Netflix?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Sears, who didn't want to adopt with, you know, moving things to an online platform because they had success with the catalog.
Yep.
You know, and so had they
yeah,
adopted?
Well, it's the classic, right? Kodak, Sears, Blockbuster, they were all big in their day. And, well, what's going to be really interesting is will Facebook and Google and, you know, chat, you know, or OpenAI, will they be able to pivot?
Right.
Right? Will they recognize the next disruption that's coming?
Exactly.
Right.
I'm really seeing a trend now, too, with Reddit going up. Have you noticed that?
No. So talk to me about that.
Yeah,
what's going
so
on there?
I've really just, so we're a partner with Reddit. Mm-hmm. And so before we became partners, I was like, well, that's really, you know, and so when we did a bunch of research, we're seeing them really, really come in, you know, kind of, there's no such thing as a two-legged stool, right?
Right.
And so there's always either, you know, a three or four-legged,
yes,
three or four-legged stool, minimum of three. So that is something that we're starting to come back in because people are looking for honest content, if you will.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, no, that makes sense because that's, I think, feels like, it reads like it's honest, authentic human content, right?
Yes.
It's real people writing and communicating with each other,
right,
on it.
More of a forum, if,
yes,
you will. And so there's a lot of information on there that, you know, and it's not review based,
right,
if you will, right?
Yes.
So it is reviews, but it's not based on a star system or it's not based on, you know, and you can sift through. We always can tell, and this is going to be in any business. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Right.
And
you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Thank you. Right. Exactly. I even will tell my clients, listen, if you have all 5 stars for your reviews and you have 500 views, people take a look at it and they're like, fake.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just not.
Right.
You know, when you have that many reviews, you're going to have 1 stars and you're going to have 5 stars.
Yes.
And that's just, you know, it's the nature of the beast. And so, but with Reddit, you can really, you know, kind of take a look because, and it's easier to search the content.
Right.
You know, because we can't search on Google or Yelp or whatever, I mean, the way that we can on Reddit.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So we were looking at OpenAI and, the other thing that you were talking about was it doesn't, that I totally agree with you, by the way, is using AI, you can't use AI to supplement your thinking, right? Or not supplement, replace. You can use it to supplement, but not to replace.
And you can train it, but it's still not you.
Right.
I mean, what I'm saying here is not what AI would spit out for me.
Right.
You know, it might get close on some things and miss the mark on other things and whatnot. So, you know, because that's been a topic for a while, right? Is AI going to replace us?
Right.
And I would argue that no, because again, do we want a bot talking to a bot, or do we want, you know, so we can't replace that human element.
No.
You know, and as much as we can train it and as much as we can do that, and I think it's great for idea generation. And, you know, I mean, we use it. You know, I'm not going to pretend that we don't use it. And there are times, you know, that, you know, I'll be like, oh, no, that's not exactly, you know, whatever. But then once I get the idea, I'm like, okay, yes, that's it. To help me kind of, you know, propel something along in my head.
Yeah.
And it does save time, but that doesn't mean that, again, we're never just taking that and cutting and pasting it over.
Right.
And so it's a tool, is what it is.
Yeah.
Not designed to replace humans completely.
Oh, no, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. And it was funny because when it first came out, I've got a couple of kids, one in college, or we've got more than a couple of kids, but we've got, it's as far as in school, we've got one in college and one in high school still. And the educational community just blew up, right? Hyper concerned about it. And the metaphor, and I think I mentioned it earlier, that came to mind is if you treat it like a calculator, it's okay. It's great, right? It's a tool to be used, but it doesn't, it's like if you give a 2-year-old a calculator, they're not going to be able to solve algebraic equations.
Exactly.
Right? Just like if you give somebody an AI tool and they don't already know the content, because one of the issues and the failures of AI is, have you heard of AI hallucinations?
I don't think so.
So, you know when you're typing on your phone and it'll guess the next word?
Yes.
So that's the way AI works, right? It's progressive thinking. So what it'll do is it will start tracking a thought and it'll, whatever word it's dropped in, it'll guess what the next word needs to be. Though the probability needs to be this and this and this. So it's progressing one word at a time. Well, it can easily all of a sudden just track off in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And you end up with what's called an AI hallucination.
Okay.
So you asked it to, you know, write, I don't know, a 1500 word article on some sort of geologic, you know, formation or something like that. And it starts doing that. And the next thing you know, it's talking about Netflix and Blockbuster. And you're like, what just happened?
Right.
Right. So you can't just trust it.
You can't. No. And nor should you. Right. You know, and when I say it's replacing, you know, like I would have to have more people, that's for things like sending out email, you know, because we can put those automations in place now.
Yes.
But I'm the one that writes them.
Yes.
You know, so they're just, you know, or the scheduling piece, or, you know, if this action happens, when I send an email out to you, if you open it,
right,
and it's about this, we know that it will create this reaction. If you don't open it, it creates this reaction over here. Those are the types of things that we should be using it for, but we can't solely depend on it. And there's companies that are replacing their HR department, and I'm kind of blown away by that.
Yeah.
Because HR, what is in that? Tell me what HR is, human resources. And so, and it's everybody's You know, it's personal to everybody. And so when I hear those things, that's a little spooky to me.
Yeah, it is. And it's, well, and I think there's going to be, there's going to be a lot of companies that go out there and they say, oh, this is a productivity gain and we can wipe out this function, essentially, from a human perspective. It's going to come back to bite you at some point.
I would agree.
Right.
Yeah, because they're looking at their P&L.
Yeah.
They're not looking at that human effort or that human piece of it. And we know this, right? And I, you know, that who's our best marketers are our internal team.
Yeah.
We're always marketing to our internal team and, you know, they're a big piece of it. And that's who is, who's out there and who has the touch points. I mean, we walk through this beautiful facility and we see people, you know, humans.
Yes.
You know, we could have a computer running that, but no, we know that it's humans that are really going to make the difference.
That's it. Well, and it, that's the whole reason that even AI exists, is to support that human element.
Right, exactly. Right. It's, and that's exactly right. It is meant to be supportive, not replacing.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So if you think about Moxie as you're moving forward, and you think about where you've been over the past few years, who's your ICP?
Always changing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when you start your business, you're hungry, you take anybody.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, you know, still kind of defining exactly your price points and how to, you know, how to get in this and defining your successes and the proof of concept and all of those things. And so for me, a big part of that was changing my mindset as we grew.
Yes.
Right. That, okay, wait a second. Why I thought that I had to have proof of concepts for Moxie when I was like, wait, I've got my own personal proof of concepts that I can bring in that even though they weren't under the Moxie business name, they're Trisha's successes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So then it was like changing, you know, that. So we really kind of started out more B2C. Our clients were more B2C, kind of an easy entry point and whatnot. And it has really morphed into B2B focus.
Okay.
We have a strong presence in tech and also in the legal. But we are industry agnostic.
Yeah.
But I'm also at a point now where I'm not afraid to say, I don't think we're a fit.
Okay.
I don't think we're the best. And for whatever reason.
Right.
It could be, you know, a value fit. It could be a timing fit. It could be the industry fit. You know what I mean? So for just various reasons. But I think in the beginning, you know, you're almost afraid to say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, it's interesting. One of the best moments that we had at the Vertical Solution was early in our practice. And we had a client that, there was some advice that I was given, which was be careful of the clients that you bring on board because you will become your clients.
Oh, wow, right.
I was like, wow, okay. And I had to process that. And then the more I processed it, we had a client that was exceptionally toxic. They had a very toxic culture. And as we would engage with them, I realized, and I just wouldn't allow the team. I was the only one that would start to engage with them just because I didn't want people to do it. And then we realized they weren't going to change. They paid extremely well, but I realized they had to because they were so toxic. It didn't matter. It was, people just didn't want to work with them.
Exactly.
And so we ended up having to have the call with them. It was like, guys, we're not a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very scary but freeing moment.
I've been in the same place.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I fired the client twice because the first time they talked me into coming back and I was like, okay, if you're going to come back, here's our boundaries.
Right.
And then they still didn't, you know, follow the boundaries. And like, and I ended up spending so much time protecting my people from, you know, my coworkers from them that I was, you know, and honestly, one of my project managers, Jeanette, said, you need to pray about this.
Yeah.
And when I did is when I was like, oh, this is super clear to me
yes.
that I need to move on from this relationship, if you want to call it a relationship. And once that was gone, what did it do? It freed up room for me to have like 5 other clients.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's sometimes, right, our scariest moments are these ones that, you know, it's just as you're cresting a hill, so to speak, right? And you don't know what's on the other side, but you've got to be willing to cross that ridge and that ridge line, and then all of a sudden you realize how free you are.
Right.
And you're like, why didn't I do this before? The whole time I've been walking along this side of the ridge line and I wouldn't cross over because I was scared.
Right.
And then it's like, no, just face your fears, step right. over it, and then once you do.
And like a balancing beam.
Yes.
And like, and you know.
Yes, yeah, and then you get to step off and you get to step on ground and all of a sudden you're free to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Right.
So, all right, speaking of which, like if you had to go back and look at your career or Moxie, and you had to find like a pivotal learning moment, right? A moment where things just kind of went wrong. And then what'd you do to correct it? Because you've got this incredible amount of success, and success doesn't come without failure.
Right.
But you don't necessarily need to find a failure per se, but just one of those learning moments for you. What's that?
So it was probably, honestly, not even that long ago. About 5 months ago, really taking a look at my goals for 2025, where we've come from, where we're headed, where I want to see, you know, I mean, I've got 35 years of marketing experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a spring chicken. Like, how long do I want to be doing, you know, whatever. And I had this moment, which I've had the conversation with others, where I realized I am really not a COO. Mm-hmm. I was the bottleneck in the company.
Yeah.
And so working myself crazy, I still work probably, I know I still work too much, but that is one of my goals for 2025. And so at that point, you know, had a conversation with my core team and said, we need to have a really honest conversation here, and you need to tell me what I'm doing to hold us back. Mm. Yeah. And I know they were all kind of like, and I'm like, listen, here's the thing. We're at a point, we need to decide, are we gonna stay where we're at?
Right.
Or are we gonna grow? And I said, so let me take it a step back. Where are you all? Do you wanna grow with us? Do you wanna grow and do this? Or are you comfortable with where we're at? Every single one unanimously said, we wanna grow.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, me too. So then Trish had to take a dive and say, what am I good at? What do I want to do and what do I don't want to do? Where am I, you know? And I got some super honest feedback from them. And I was like, and so thankful that they felt comfortable to give me that feedback too.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to be nice, but I want to hear it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
And so then after that, so since then we've hired on 4 more people. We've gotten more tools in place. We embraced AI a little bit more, made sure that everybody has what they needed. And I said, please tell me these things, you know, and don't be afraid to speak up. And so that was a huge moment for me, honestly, was just taking a look in the mirror.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And I love that. And it takes a lot of courage, right? And it's funny because when you do that, what I've found is when I have those moments and I'm willing to really look honestly, truthfully, and without a varnish at myself or at the company, all of a sudden, you're free.
Right.
There's freedom in that.
Right.
Right. I mean, what's the verse? It's, you know, the truth shall set you free. You'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Obviously, that's from a very specific biblical reference. But
right.
But I think it's an axiom for life as well, is that in that truth, in dealing with that, there's an opportunity to fly.
Right.
Right.
And I love processes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the one to put them in place.
Right.
Because I'll come up for one process, I'll come up with 10 ideas because I'm the idea girl.
Yes.
I'm like, we could do this or that or this or that. And they're like, Trish. You know, I'm like, oh, wait, or this. And they're like,
get focused.
Right. Stay focused. But that's what I'm good at, right? And right. That's why I help businesses grow, because I can see big pictures. I can see many different ways that things can be done and different opportunities. That's one of my strengths.
Okay.
That doesn't make me a COO.
Yep, that's right.
So somebody put the process in place, just tell me what to do and I will do the process. And once, now that we have them, we're just flowing so much better.
That's great. I love that. Well, and it was interesting. I was talking with a chairman of a company who had been the founder and the CEO, and they'd grown it to a tremendous, fantastic company. And I was asking him a little bit about it, and he said about, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, he stepped out of the CEO role and just became an executive chairman. And it was because he was talking to the president and COO and the board, and they were like, you're the problem, right? Essentially, in a very, very kind, loving way.
Of course.
It was like, this has gotten to the point it needs to scale. And scale requires consistent processes in the running of a playbook. And the COO had, and president, had those leadership capabilities that the CEO, he was highly disruptive. He was an idea generator and a visionary. And so what they would build these processes, and then he would come in and say, oh, but we could change it, right? And so it kept the team from really being able to scale.
Right.
And even though they were very successful and had hit a certain level, they weren't able to break through the next level. And so sure enough, since he stepped into that other role, the company is just flourishing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because there's consistency.
Yes.
And there's process there.
And let him do what he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean there's not a role. It's just different.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I also feel like I empowered my team to say, you are part of this. I need your feedback. I need this.
Yes.
Tell me, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not hurting my feelings. You know, again, I want you to be nice about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so on our weekly meetings,
yeah,
we have a set aside time where they say, I think this is going good and this needs help.
I love that.
I'm like, great. And sometimes I'm the one that can be that help. Sometimes I'm not. I need to get out of my way.
Yeah.
You know, and I have no problem delegating, but I also don't want to delegate that to somebody who doesn't want it.
Yep.
So if there's nobody on the team that maybe isn't good at that, well, then let's outsource it. Let's bring it in. And so then I went out and spent a lot of time educating myself, talking to business coaches, you know, doing, you know, getting on and doing these things where I'm like, okay, oh, wow. And that's been great, where I didn't think I had the time.
Yeah.
To go back to our conversation about AI, you know, like,
yes,
take the time. So I needed to take the time to run the business to figure that out. And, you know, did things like called my accountant of, you know, 40 years and said, yes, Deanna, I need you to take this over. And she was like, cool, you know.
Finally, yes.
Right, pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
Because otherwise what I was doing was sending her stuff, you know, twice, yeah, a year. And she's like, girl, what have you been doing? I'm like, not clearly not the books. You know, like, I've been,
yes.
And so, you know, like those things. And, but in the beginning, I think when you start your business, there's fear.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and not just necessarily fear of, I trusted her to do the books. That wasn't it. Fear of another invoice to pay. Fear of, you know,
yes,
all of these things. And I, you know, so you have to somehow get past that.
Yeah.
And I think it's still healthy to have it there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I never want to be complacent.
Right.
You know, so there's healthy fear and there's unhealthy fear.
Yeah, it was funny. I was listening to, I think, a Nick Bear podcast recently, right? So he's actually out of Austin.
And, okay.
Successful entrepreneur. And he had, he was talking about contentment versus complacency. And it's, and one of the things that he was struggling with was learning to be content without being complacent.
I can see that.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the two can be easily confused, but they're fundamentally different.
Right.
Right? It's being content, which is being thankful with a grateful heart about what's going on and being content, right? Without being complacent in the sense of accepting the status quo,
right,
as is good enough, right? It's you know, one of my favorite verses is, you know, run the race is to win the prize. Only one person will win the prize, but it doesn't matter. We're still called to run the race to win the prize. And that means never being complacent, never stopping, right? It's that whole notion of continuous improvement.
Right.
Right. But it's also recognizing, it's learning to be content in all situations and circumstances. So you can take your foot off the gas and enjoy the time with your family.
Yes.
Right? And enjoy where you're at. Enjoy the benefits of what you've earned. Right.
Right. And allowing ourselves to be human in that regard, right?
Yes.
So when I talk to my clients or my contractors or my friends, or plug in whatever you want there, yeah, and they say they're taking time off for them, and I'm like, that's fantastic. And then I do,
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay, hang tight, you know.
I need to do that.
Yes. I need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And that's really, those are, again, kind of taking a look at that internal, right?
Yeah.
And saying, you know, where am I with this? And, yeah, you know, finding the tools to make those difference. I'll have to look that podcast up. It
yeah,
sounds great.
That was a good one. All right, two other quick questions before we wrap up. One, if you were looking at your bookshelf, right, what's a go-to book for you? And then what's one that you haven't read that you would like to read?
Oh, okay, that's great. So one that I read is from Katherine Brown, and it's How Good Humans Sell.
Okay.
And it was so fantastic because, you know, here I went into this like, well, I'm a marketer, right? And then realized really quickly, well, wait a second, I guess I am in sales.
Yeah.
You know, and so kind of taking a look and then really realizing how I don't want to work with good people and I feel like I am a good person. So what are those, and not being afraid to lead with,
yes,
those types of things. So I feel like I'm not high pressure, you know, I'm not, certainly not the highest priced marketing agency, because I want to be fair.
Right.
Not the lowest, but you know, not the highest either. Building relationships.
Yeah.
It's okay if somebody doesn't want to work with me, not taking it personal, you know, all
yes,
of those types of things. So that was really an easy, good read. Like, you know, hey, this was, and something I, you know, kind of needed as my foundation too, to go in and be like, and have that realization that I am. So even though, like, in my head thinking I'm creating these relationships, which I am, I also wear that sales hat.
Yes.
But I don't want to be salesy.
Yes.
If you will.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I say that tongue in cheek, but I think you understand what I'm saying. You know, mm-hmm, like, I don't come in overbearing. I'm just not that, you know, and over, I would rather under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, the phrase I heard once is there are some people that are coin operated, right? And I choose not to be coin operated.
Right.
Right. But there's others that are like, yeah, we can do that for you, but hey, this is what it needs to be. And or a little bit even more along those lines is, before we even talk about, yeah, we can do that for you, it's let's talk about the price, right? And
right,
what are you gonna pay? Those sorts of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So that's your go-to. And then what's one that you haven't that you would like to?
Boy, this is a tough one because I've got a few on there. Some are for pleasure. I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah. I was starting to ask you, you know, fiction or nonfiction, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Right. So, you know, as far as business-wise, if I can just set that aside for a minute, yeah, I love reading mysteries.
Yeah.
And I do need to take that time for myself.
Yes.
So I have, my daughter for Mother's Day got me Book of the Month Club.
Okay.
And so every month a book lands on my, and they were stacking up. I mean, you know, May through November.
Yes.
And Thanksgiving week, I grabbed one and I was like, no, I need to do this. Not a big TV watcher, yeah, you know, whatever, almost always have music going. And I forgot how much enjoyment I get out of reading fiction, to be honest.
Yes, yes.
And so I have the stack, and now I have my December book that I, and so, but I tend to read, you know, mysteries.
Okay.
And so that's, yeah, so
that's
I have
awesome,
a few of those. So I'm excited over Christmas break to take a little bit of time and just.
Do you have a go-to author for mysteries?
You know.
Or one that you like?
So I have read a lot of Gershom.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's
yes, he's awesome.
Right. He's yes. And Patterson, James Patterson, yep. You know, excellent.
Yes.
They're both, and I feel like they just do such, and they're, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, it's like they're consistent, right? I don't yeah. have to worry that if I'm, which, why should I worry if I don't like the book? Just put it down. For whatever reason in my head, I think, even if I don't like it, feel like I have to stumble my way through a book. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I really don't, you
yes.
know?
Well, it's funny, like I found, well, a book, I think, almost becomes part of you. It's a deeply personal.
And the characters?
Yes, yes. and so what I found is I'll spend an inordinate amount of time picking a book out where, like, if I was gonna go buy a bottle of wine, I wouldn't think anything. Spending the same dollar amount, I'll spend 20 minutes thinking about the book, and I'll spend maybe a minute picking out that bottle of wine.
Based on the label.
Yeah.
The wine.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
me, I'll be yeah. like, oh, I've never seen that label, but oh, okay, you know,
right.
I'm with you,
yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I've got a little kind of cheat sheet that I go through to like identify whether it's good or not. But to your point, I'll find it off the label. I'll look at the label like, oh, I haven't had that before. That sounds good. And then I check a couple of the stats on it. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm getting it.
Right.
Right? And it's.
I also have a go-to book that I always go back to beyond. I am very faith-filled, as I'm sure you picked up on this, and you and I have talked enough to know that. So I have like my daily routines that I do, but the book The Shack, have you ever read it?
I've not, but I've heard so much about it.
Every time I read it, I've read it 5 times.
Okay.
That's really not in my DNA is to read something 5 times.
Okay.
I've read it 5 times. Every time I read it, I get something different out of it. And it's because awesome. I'm at a different point in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what is so amazing about that book is that that's the whole point of it, is that God changes for what you need at that particular point in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, the first time I read it, I finished it on plane sobbing.
Oh my word.
And yeah. people are like, are you okay? You know,
it's a book.
I'm like the ugly cry, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, and then the second time I read it, I knew what was coming, so I didn't cry. It was just so different for me,
yeah.
you know? And then the third time, I took something completely different out of it. And so I will go back. That's on my read yeah. list again for 25, is to go back and read that again. It's just because it's a reminder to me that we are at different points in our life at all times. And we have to, you know, allow people into our lives and allow them to let go. I just got a tattoo not that long ago that says, let them. And that's what
awesome.
That's about. And it's about, you know, letting, you know, mm-hmm. people in, letting them go.
Yes.
You know, and we're at different points and people come and go because we're at different points in our journey.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And so that's on my read list again.
I love that. Yeah. No, I've got a couple along those lines the same way. And, you know, I heard somebody say this about God. You were saying, you know, about how He allows us to change, right, as we go through this, and our perspective of Him changes, right, is that somebody said, you know, if we were able to, the finite can never understand the infinite, and that doesn't mean we don't attempt to, but one of the things where a lot of people will make a mistake about this is trying to say, I need to fully understand God, because if you can fully understand God, then that would kind of make you
God.
Right. Right? And it's like, that's it's the notion that, you know, He's the being of which there is no greater.
Right.
And so that being the case, it's like, okay, if there's nothing greater, I'll never be able to fully comprehend that, but that doesn't mean that I can't understand and learn new aspects.
Yes.
Right? And traits.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, and I do think we go through seasons of where we question
yeah.
and seasons of abundance.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's important for me to remember too, that when I'm at that point of saying, why am I here right now?
Yeah.
So good for me, and let Him,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To stop. Understand that whatever this is, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
You may not know it right now.
Yeah.
And you may not know it for a year. You may not know it for 2 years. You might figure it out next week. I don't know, you right. know, but just let that process happen.
I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that trust and faith. I mean, that's the whole word, faith, right? And having the trust. And, you know, moving down to Texas, sold two homes in Minnesota, bought my house online, quit my job, moved down into a town I'd never set foot in. I knew two people in Austin. One of them was my realtor. She kind of had to like me. You know, haven't heard from her since, so apparently she didn't. No, but
so
kidding.
Funny.
Really, yeah. Actually, she's great. But, you know, and people will say to me, how did you end up here? And I'm like, it's truly just one word, God.
Yeah.
And it was when I gave up is when it started happening. When I gave up that control. That I just kept fighting for, because I kept thinking my life was feeling out of control, and so I was trying to get that control. When I gave it up is when it all happened.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
It goes back to that whole ridgeline thing. If you just cross over.
Right.
Right? It's, I had my world rocked about 2 years ago. Mm. Same thing. And all of a sudden, you know, just taking that faith step, and you get on the other side, and you can, there's so much freedom, and all of a sudden you can breathe, and you can act and move. And it's I had a friend ask me, you know, it was like, hey, you know, how many weeks or whatever will you push back on God? And I was like, I think I pushed back on him for years on this one thing, right? And then finally when I stopped, it was like, oh, what was wrong with me for all that? All this freedom existed and was just waiting for me to step into it,
right?
Yeah.
But that was your journey.
It was. And then we're all on this journey, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's, you know, it's scary.
Yeah.
To do that. Like, again, to our point earlier, it's scary, but then once you do it, you're like, oh, wait a second. You know, so if I find myself, I'm human, if I find myself having anxiety, if I find myself, you know, going down this hole of imposter syndrome. What am I doing sitting in this chair on the 55th floor in Dallas? You know, I'm from St. Cloud, Minnesota. You know, like, you know, what am I doing? You know, riding up in the elevator thinking, am I okay? And then I'm like, okay, wait, just take my hand. We're okay.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? And it's okay. And it is okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, did I do perfect? No. Did I do great? Yes. Is this wonderful? Yes, 100%, because I strengthened my relationship with you, you know, and, you know, talked about strengths and weaknesses and whatnot. And so I love every second of it. But when I find myself in those moments where I used to look for something external, now I look for that internally, and because he's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank
you. So thanks for the ride up, Jesus.
Amen.
He was with me on the ride.
Yes, let's go. I love that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. And if people want to get in touch with you, how should they do that?
Yes. Yeah, so moxie360marketing.com.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, Trisha Hendrickson. I didn't brand myself well because I go by Trish and Trisha. And I was like, wow, what was I thinking? I didn't brand myself well. But it is Trisha Hendrickson on LinkedIn, or just Trish at moxie360marketing.com.
I love it. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.